topic for you, as we certainly know it is for most people. And the way the Bible addresses it, I would say that most people need to address this in their own lives. We certainly need to address this from the vantage point of the concept of a nation. Our families need to address this, our communities need to address this, and certainly we need to address this in our individual lives. And that is the topic of favoritism and partiality, respect of persons, things such as that. We'll have a proper definition when we get into the heart of our Bible study today. But again, I want to welcome you to the program today. I want to thank you for joining us. I see that we have several Bible students that are joining us today, both on the TGRN side and the Facebook Live. I'm always mindful of those individuals who are listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we hope that our lesson today and the Word of God is in encouraging, edifying, and if it need be, even rebuking and admonishing. As the Word of God is needed, so forth it is sent. And so we're thankful that you have joined us in that regards. It is always, as we make mentioned each and every time, it is always such a wonderful privilege, is it not, to be able to sit down and to study God's truths. He has revealed them in such a way and communicated to us in such a way that He has blessed us with the opportunity of being His children, studying His will, and so we need to hide them into our hearts. We need to apply them to our daily life. These truths are precious. They are indeed a treasure, as both the psalmist and the preacher in Proverbs writes about. These are things that we have a beauty to dig deep into and to love. And the deeper we dig, the more rich things that we draw out of it. But not only that, the beauty of God is oftentimes seen in the depth of His Word. And so we are glad that you have joined us today. I see that Sister Sainer has joined us from Oklahoma, Sister Jensen from Washington, and I also see that our good brother Javon Jesse is able to be back with us. It's good to have you, Brother Javon, from the Central Church of Christ there in Hyderabad, India. And always good to have you with us. All right, let's see here. I want to make sure that we get all of our announcements out of the way before we begin our program. I do want to extend this invitation to you to come and join us at the 22nd Annual Standing in the Gap Lectures. We will be hosting those here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, January the 27th through the 31st. Once again, that is the 22nd Annual Standing in the Gap Lectureship, January the 22nd through the 31st. We have a wonderful theme. We have a magnificent series of lessons, one that I think is maybe one of the most needed subjects today. Every time I watch television, every time I watch the news, every time I hear people try to make arguments, I am always reminded of how important it is for us to reason properly, for us to come to a proper, and that's really the reason why this Open Mic Friday is dealing with favoritism, and I'll go through that in just a minute. But come now, let us reason together is the theme of our hot topic today. And we spoke to you yesterday, and we've told you that Omari French, Jason Rollo, Michael Light, Joshua Rodriguez, Keith Mosier, B.J. Clark, Israel Rodriguez, Tom Waycaster, Terrence Brownlow Dendy, and Michael Light are all, I guess I mentioned Michael twice, but these are all the speakers that are going to be on our lectureship. 9 speakers, 13 topics. Some of them are doubling up. This is, to me, it's one of the topics that must be addressed in our society. I talked to you yesterday about Omari French's lessons as he is opening and closing the lectureship this year. But on Thursday night, Brother Jason Rollo, just to highlight maybe a couple of these lessons, Brother Rollo will be dealing with the law of identity. Now, these may be unusual terms for some people, but I'm telling you, these are the basic principles upon which, if violated, we will not be able to have fellowship with one another. I don't mean just in the church. I mean there will be no fellowship between men. There is no communication. There is no proper relationship between men without understanding, and certainly between men and God without understanding the law of identity. At 2 p.m. on Friday, Brother Michael Light is going to be dealing with the law of rationality. Joshua Rodriguez will follow him up with the law of excluded middle. And then Sunday morning, Brother Michael Light will be dealing with the law of non-contradiction. And again, those may be strange, but I'm telling you, these are practical, fundamental Bible lessons that you and I need to understand. Now, we practice these things, or I should say, if we're practicing common sense, then we're practicing these things all of the time. But I want us to be able to see that these are Bible subjects. It's like we mentioned in the preamble to the Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident, God created man, right? And that he gave him that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, among which, it says, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's not just in the preamble. That's not just the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms, that bears out of God granting man the right to life. It is a self-preservation principle, and it is invested in God's Word. Liberty. Even with liberty, and the Second Amendment stems right out of that, right? The right to bear arms is a principle of liberty. It is also a principle of the pursuit of happiness, is a principle that is seen in the right to work. The American government did not give man the right to work. God did. Before he ever created the institution of marriage or the institution of government or the institution of the church, he created another institution, the institution of business, the institution of work. And those are principles that are invested in our legal system at the very most fundamental, basic level of our legal system. Now, what I'm saying is that some of the arguments that we make and some of the decisions that we make are not based upon sound reasoning. That's what we're talking about with regards to this. And so it is important that we understand how to reason. So the theme, "Come now, let us reason," is an important thing. God wanted to reason with ancient Israel, and he wants to reason with men today. And so we hope that you are able to join us. Each of the speakers are producing at least a 5-page extensive outline that is designed in a book that we will publish, and it will be ready for the lectureship. So we hope that you are able to be with us and that you are able to pick one of those up as well for lasting study. All right, so we've got all of those things. I do want to give out this invitation to anyone that is ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. You'll find the Nesbitt Church of Christ. And we would love to extend this invitation for you to come and to join us, to be a part of our Bible study and worship assembly, 9 a.m. every Sunday morning for Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for opportunities of worship, and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. All right, the phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. If you'd like to be a part of the program, to ask a question or make a comment in regards to our discussion today, or maybe a different discussion, then Open Mic Friday is where you get to determine the direction of the program. Now, you can do that not just by phone. You can send me a text, or you can join us, if you're not already joining us, in the TGRN discussion window or the Facebook Live discussion window. Either way, we'll get you into the discussion today. I see that Sister Woodall has joined us. Sister Higgins has joined us as well. And good to have all of y'all with us in regards to these things. All right, I think that's all. The person I miss, I don't know how I miss it. Brother Tom Waycaster is also going to be with us, a good friend of mine. I don't know how I overlooked him on the list, but he's going to be with us as well. And so we'll mention some of those lectures as we go forward in the next week or so. All right, let's see here. I think that's all of the announcements that I have in regards to items. And so I want to go ahead and get right into our study. And so I'm going to ask that you open up to James chapter 3 for the beginning of our study. James chapter 3. Now, there are a lot of different directions, I assure you, that we could have gone with this particular lesson. A lot of different ways that we could begin with this as well. But the direction that I would like to begin with begins in James chapter 3, because James chapter 3 ties our subject matter into the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of men is going to be lacking in regards to this. I want you to notice, beginning in let's start in verse number 13. He says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation," that is a manner of life, "his works with meekness of wisdom." Meekness of wisdom. "But if you have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, glory not, and be not against the truth." Now notice this. "This wisdom descendeth not from above." What kind of wisdom? The wisdom that breeds strife and envying in your hearts. Strife and envying in your hearts is not from above. So it doesn't descend from above, but it's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. Now notice that. It is earthly. It is not heavenly. It is sensual. It is not spiritual. It is devilish. It is not godly. So notice here, this wisdom descendeth not from above. Verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Now, my friends, it's not hard in our society today to be able to see that all James is asking us to do is to look at the fruit. I've mentioned this when we've talked about the Bible as a tree, and or a Christian as a tree. And if you want to be able to see what a Christian is planting in their heart, look at what they are producing, right? Is that not the principle that Jesus told us about right, in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 16, you shall know them by their fruits. So look at the fruit. What is the American family producing today? What is the American school system producing today? What is the American governmental system producing today? What is the product? Well, if the product is earthly and sensual and devilish, that's what's being planted, then what will you get? Envying and strife in your heart. Envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So what we are seeing then is the fruit of that which has been planted. Now James is saying that all of this is a part of the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the devil, not the wisdom of God. So notice verse number 17. But in contrast to all of that, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and of good works. Notice the fruit, right? And of good works. It is without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, the greatest peace that is being spoken of here is, of course, peace between man and God. But it's also a principle that you will find stated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, right? That Romans chapter 12, notice verse number 18, he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so James is laying down here a very simple procedure. Now we're talking about favoritism today, but I've got to take us back to where favoritism begins. It does not begin with the wisdom of God. It begins with the wisdom that is earthly. It's not heavenly. It is not spiritual. It is sensual. It is not godly. It is earthly and devilish, you see. And so we've got to keep that in mind with regards to that. Now, I do want to come back to this particular section of Scripture a little bit later, but I must move on for clarity's sake. And so, number one, I wanted us to be able to see that if we're talking about favoritism, respective persons, and partiality, then we're talking about those things that are not a blessing of God. We're talking about things that are contrary to the will of God. Now, being able to ascertain something in the heart of somebody else by their fruits, even, is not always an easy subject matter. Let me give you an example of the difference between the way we see things today and maybe the way that the Bible presents some things. Would you call Peter a racist? Would you call the Apostle Peter a man of partiality? Would you say that his life is characterized, and by the way, the way that we do this sometimes is that one infraction carries over in some of these areas for an entire lifetime. If you've ever used that infraction, then you are always partial. You are always a respecter of person. Would we say that with regards to the Apostle Peter? Well, we would not. But yet we know that Paul in Galatians chapter 2, and I'll come back to this a little bit later as well, but Paul in Galatians chapter 2 had to confront Peter to his face because he was being, at that time, a hypocrite. He was dissimulating, and he was showing partiality. Where before he had not, now he was. And so in our society today, we would say, well, that one infraction by this leader means that he should never, ever be in a leadership responsibility again. By the way, after that, God would call upon him to write both 1st and 2nd Peter. He's already called upon him to deliver the sermons in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 3 and other sermons. Later, he's going to call upon him to write two great books in our Bibles, gifted by and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. But he's going to be called upon to do that. Peter repented of those things, I know, in order to be able to do that. He wasn't an impartial, racist man. He showed impartiality on one particular occasion, and he needed to be rebuked for that. Brother Javon Jesse says the education system in India teaching children, Hindus go to the temple, Muslims go to mosque, Christians go to church. It seems that the church is a building and not a called out people. By the way, there are times in which I understand that how people use the word church, but it's not a physical temple, it's not a physical mosque, it's not a physical building. Brother Javon is right. It is a spiritual temple, and it is the called out people. Now the assembly may also be used in regards to the aspect of the church. So we do go to church, but we do not go to a church in the sense of a building. It's the place of the assembly that becomes important. But what I want to show you here in relationship to this is that all of these things are opposed to the character of God. There's not, when we talk about partiality and respect of persons, and things such as that favoritism, what we're talking about are things that are contrary to the very character and nature of God. It amazes me how many people can be opposed to God when God's character clearly demonstrates that he is a great, majestic God. There is nothing or no one like him in regards to this, but God is an impartial judge in regards to what is right or wrong. And I would suggest to you that's where a lot of people get their distaste for God. God is not, things that are wrong, and God is not going to judge based upon partiality. See, there's a lot of people today, they want to be judged on partiality. They want you to have that kind of false judgment. But God will never be able to do that because of his character. Deuteronomy 32, notice verse number 4. The Bible says he is a rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Notice with me in Romans chapter 2, and verse number 11. Now, the whole context of Romans chapter 2, but specifically in verse number 11, it says, "For there is no respect of person with or persons with God." God's very character is to be an impartial judge of things. God's justice brings praise and rejoicing to the nations that are ruled by his law. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 67. This is an interesting psalm to me, but especially verses 3 and 4. Psalm 67, verses 3 and 4. It says, let all the people praise thee, O God, and let the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge thy people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. God's judgment is done according to righteousness. He will never be impartial. He will never be a respecter of persons in regards to that. That is why you can't buy your way into heaven. That is why, by the way, you can work out and have the most magnificent body. You can be the most gorgeous person upon the face of the earth, and that will not get you into heaven. You can use all the beauty products that you want to make yourself look younger and more beautiful and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not saying those things are necessary. Money is not wrong, but you can't use what you possess in the financial markets to make any kind of decision on your eternal judgment. The same is true with your beauty, your power and influence. You may be able to shake nations. You may be like a George Soros and be able to crash nations or build up nations or redesign nations with your power and influence and things like that. But my friends, you can't do that with God. People may look at you differently because of your money, your power, your beauty, things such as that, but that will never be the case with God. I will suggest to you that this is one of the reasons why the gospel is so pleasant to the common man. I can be judged as a common man. Listen, I am not a Brad Pitt. I'm not an Arnold Schwarzenegger with all the muscles. Well, I do have all the muscles. They're just in different places. All of that, I don't have the money that the rich people of the world have. I don't have the influence that some people have. That's fine and dandy. But God will judge them by the same standard that he will judge me. Now, see, to me, and James deals with that in James chapter 3 in regards to the rich and the poor. Gender issues of partiality are dealt with in Galatians 3. We'll get to that. But rich and poor, the class system, Brother Javon Jesse certainly understands a little bit about the class system being in India. In other places of the world, they have a class system as well. And in America, for a long time, we have despised the class system. It's not that it wasn't there. It's just that we have generally despised any kind of judgment based upon that, where other nations have accepted that. But I will tell you that anymore, the conflict that exists in America is much a class warfare as it is anything else. So we have to be careful in our judgments to judge like God and not like the people around us. Well, there's a lot that we could say in regards to that. That is one of the things I wanted to talk about, the character of God in regards to that. And God's character demands that I judge likewise. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2, we are to draw nigh to God. We are to be, godliness means to be like God. And I'm going to take the character of God, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 in regards to that. So now I want to get to a couple of items of definition. We've been talking about this for a while, and I know you've been thinking, okay, when are we going to get to the definition? I want to get to a couple of words that are utilized. Now, the first word is utilized 4 times in your King James Bible. It's used once in Romans, once in Ephesians, once in Colossians, and once here in the book of James, James chapter 2 and verse number 1, where it says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with, and it's translated respect of persons. It's in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11. Remember the passage we used earlier, for there is no respect of persons with God. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 9, it says that masters are, that ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 25, again talking about that relationship, says, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of his wrong, which he hath done, and that without partiality. So God acts without partiality, and he expects us to act without partiality as well. So the word there, let me give you a pronunciation of the word, here's
prosopolepsia.
How, there you go.
Prosopolepsia.
There's the pronunciation of that word, and it simply means a respect of persons. Now here's how Thayer defines it. Partiality: the fault of one who, when called on to give judgment, has respect of the outward circumstances of man and not to their intrinsic merits, and so prefers as the more worthy one who is rich, high-born, or powerful to another who does not have the same qualities. And so it is the fault, it is a mindset, right? We're talking about a sin of the mind. The mind judges, makes a discernment based upon those things that are on the outward rather than the intrinsic merits of a man. It's not just outward and inward, by the way. It's the respect of the things that are rich, high-born, or powerful, influential. By the way, this does not mean that I may address a friend differently than I address a president, right? The president, you don't walk up, whether he's Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. You don't just walk up and say, "Yo, dude." You might yo dude your friend, but you don't yo dude someone in authority. You don't do that to your boss at work. You don't do that to a police officer or someone in authority, you see. That's a lack of respect to the office that is being held at that particular time. Now, it's interesting that when you began to look at this particular word, it simply means to take at face value. That the word actually stems from to receive the face of somebody. In a lot of Oriental countries, you will find that this is still a custom where is it, when you approach someone of you bow and your face to the ground, and if they receive you, they allow you to show your face again. You see, that's the ideal of this word, to show your face, to receive the face of somebody else. That's the actual word, receive and face is the ideal. And by the way, you think about this. We have a, well, actually it's a worldwide phenomenon of a music television program called The Voice. You can have The Voice in Australia, The Voice in India, The Voice in America, The Voice in whatever. It's all over the world. But here's what happens on The Voice. The chairs are turned around so that you cannot see the one doing the singing. So what happens is you have to make a judgment, not based upon whether or not that person looks good, is beautiful, fits the mold of what you think is a pop singer, country singer, rock singer, whatever. But you have to make that decision based upon the voice, the talent, and not, see, you take the partiality out of the equation. That's the whole purpose of that particular program. And I think it's, I'm not going to justify the junk done on the program. I'm just saying that the principle behind it is a sound principle of we want to do this without partiality. What is the intrinsic value of that person or the role of that person, not whether or not they look good at the job. You see, that's the problem with America oftentimes and the world in general. We want people who look good at the job, right? Rather than people who are good at the job, we want people who look good at the job. And that's a problematic item of partiality, right? Now, the other word is a similar word to this. It's based upon the same base fundamental, but it's used in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. Then Peter opened up his mouth and perceived that God is no respecter of person. Now that's interesting. Would you and I be perceived as a person if people are judging without partiality? Could we be judged as a person who is without respect of persons ourselves? Well, I would hope so. But that's what we're talking about when we talk about favoritism. Favoritism. Now, there are some times in which somebody is seen to be favorable to a boss or to a parent. I will tell you, as a parent, I always favored my children who were obedient. Now, that's not being a respect of person. It's just simply saying that there were blessings that were given to those that obeyed, and there were punishments that were meted out. That's called justice. In fact, wisdom and favoritism, favoritism is the wisdom of man, whereas being without favoritism or a respect of person is the wisdom of God. But I will also say that it's a matter of justice and judgment as well. We need to mete out justice and judgment the way God does. And he does so based upon a proper standard of judgment. And when we judge that way, we are not being a respecter of persons. When a person violates the law, let me give you just a couple of examples of this before we move on. And then I want to talk about several reasons why favoritism, injustice, being a respect of persons, things such as that are contrary and why we should not do that. But let me give you, you've seen the riots in the riot in Washington, D.C., where many people stormed into the Capitol, and that was wrong. There's no doubt about that. I think everybody I've seen has decried that. But let me show you the fundamental hypocrisy in our system of judgment in the news media and in our government. People seem to forget that back in the summer, when riots were going on all over, when cities were being burned and destroyed, that they were talking a different game at that particular time. You see, then they were saying things such as this: there needs to be unrest in the streets. Well, if there needs to be unrest in the streets in July, why not in January? Protesters should not let up. Now, they're saying that while cities are burning in July. So, if it's true in July, why isn't it true in January? If you see anybody of that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them you're not welcome anymore anywhere. That was the sentiment in earlier this year. Why isn't it now? Why isn't it when people are pushing back? By the way, listen to this. I just don't know why there aren't uprisings all over this country. Maybe there will be. By the way, this is not a political statement, but I'm saying politicians and newscasters and preachers and Christians are all alike in this. We got to be careful with our words here. That was Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, and that was Carmela Harris, who is the Vice President or the nominated Vice President of the United States, and that's what they were saying then, but that's not what they're saying now. You see, now, are there differences in what was attacked? Well, a police station was being attacked in the summer. Government buildings were being attacked in the summer, and it was a government building that was attacked the other day. All I'm saying is simply this, that we need to be just in our items. Yes, Sister Jensen said, I watched Seattle and Portland be burned and no weapons allowed for the National Guard. You know, back then they were calling for a defunding of the police. Several cities even defunded. I believe D.C. was one of those that defunded the police department, right? Huh. Yesterday, were they, yes, Maxine Waters was one of those. Were they crying for the police yesterday? In fact, the chief of the D.C. police, the police at the congressional building, was called upon to resign by Nancy Pelosi, who was in charge of the Capitol Police. Well, I thought we was defunding the police. Now we want to hold them accountable for what they did not do when they were being everybody was talking about defunding them. You see, we do have to utilize a sense of logic and common sense to this discussion, do we not? All I'm saying is, seems like a little bit of hypocrisy, respect of persons, favoritism going on. If you riot and I like you, by the way, my wife and I have this discussion all the time, and I try to preach and teach on this. I probably don't do as much of it. But we need to be very careful as New Testament Christians, because sometimes when a friend of ours, I see preachers do this all the time, a friend of ours is engaging in a particular activity that's wrong, that's sinful. A person that we like engages in something, and we are very susceptible to give him a pass. But if somebody that we dislike, that we disdain, that we don't really have a lot in common with or a lot in fellowship, when they engage in it, we're very quick to say, kick them out, cast them out, hang them up by the neck, and let's go on. You see, we got to be careful with that kind of... God never judges that way. God judges based upon righteousness. Did you do right? Did you do wrong? Did you obey? Did you disobey? See, that's the way God... And you see that. I want you to notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I've used this passage to talk about other subjects before, but to me, this is one of the principles of judgment that we need to be very clear on. Notice what it says here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, All were baptized with the baptism unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. All did eat the same spiritual meat. All did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now notice this. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now think about this. It does not matter how blessed you are of God. God holds you accountable for sin. In fact, if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, you will find that it doesn't matter how close you are with God. It does not matter your relationship with God. If you sin, God cannot do anything but judgment. Now, he can show mercy through his Son, but notice this. For God spared not the angels, chapter 2 and verse number 4, that sinned. They are in the very presence of God. They're the ministers of God in a very special way, and yet when they sinned, they could not stay in the presence of God. It doesn't matter whether or not you're in the multitude or not. Well, listen, everybody is doing it. All those people started into the Capitol, and I was with them, and I was influenced by them, and I went in with them. Yeah, there's probably some people like that. But notice, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon them of the ungodly. It doesn't matter how many there are. The whole world was flooded. Every single soul destroyed by the flood outside of these eight. The percentages were not in Noah's favor, and yet God meted out justice. What about riches? Sodom and Gomorrah was one of the richest lands in the area. In fact, you remember that Lot chose the green pastures of Sodom for feeding his herd when he was given a choice. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making an example of those that should live godly, ungodly thereafter. God does not make his judgment based upon how rich you are. He does not make his judgment based upon how many people are doing it. He does not make his judgment based upon how close you are associated with him. He does not make that judgment based upon how many blessings that he's meted out to you. He makes it based upon the standard of judgment, which is his will, his word. And so when we're talking about impartiality, we need to understand, or favoritism, we need to understand those items. So let me give you some reasons, biblical reasons, why it is absolutely wrong to engage in partiality, respect of persons, or favoritism. Number one, I would suggest unto you, and we've already hinted at this throughout the whole program, that favoritism and respect of persons and partiality is contrary to the very character of God, right? God does not show respect of persons. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11. There is no favoritism. There is no partiality with him at all. If you're going to make a false judgment upon people, that's not godly wisdom. That's wisdom from above, right? So all things ought to be judged based upon the character and integrity of our God, and they shall be. But number two, let me also suggest unto you that the Bible teaches that we are not to be that kind of person. Is that not where we began in James chapter 2 and verse number 1? My brethren, he says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now there in the context, he's talking about a respect of persons between the rich and the poor, right? Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27. And by the way, don't mistake this. I do need to deal with this as well. Galatians 3 and verse number 28, for there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Intrinsic value of salvation, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, don't mistake role for intrinsic value. Think about this. Is it partiality? Is it a contrary to the very character of God that a bachelor cannot be an elder, but a married man can? That's really not based upon his intrinsic value, but it is based upon the carrying out of that work. So it is about the role of an elder. Having children versus not having children. Having children is about the role of an elder. Having a wife is about the role of an elder. It's not about the intrinsic value. So roles can be set up. It is absolutely correct that a person can place I want to hire somebody, and so I want to hire somebody based upon their qualifications for the job. The qualifications for the job is not about their intrinsic value. It's about the role of the job. That is not partiality, you see. Anyone who fits the criteria may apply for that job. So don't mistake that. Some people don't get the job and they say, well, I didn't get the job because, and it's partiality. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe you don't know all of the decisions that went into that. See, God knows all of those things, and God will be our ultimate judge. And so it is important. Listen, judges in the Old Testament, they could not judge out of partiality. It was contrary to the law of God for them to do that. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 15. Exodus 23 and verse number 3 talks about not showing respect of persons or favoritism to a poor man in a lawsuit. They couldn't do that. So, number one, it's contrary to the very character of God. Number two, it's contrary to the expressed will of God. And number three, God says it is a sin. Right? Look with me back at James chapter 2. And that's why we wanted to start with the book of James, is because James has a lot to say about this, right? James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wait a minute. That's based upon Deuteronomy 6, right? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Or excuse me, Leviticus, not Deuteronomy. But notice what he says. But if you have respect of persons, you commit what? Sin. Favoritism, as we have been talking about it, respect of persons, partiality, is sin. Well, I don't know that we need to go into that neighborhood and preach the gospel, because there are a lot of poor people there, and we really need people in the church that have some money, power, influence. Well, you can't get a more sinful statement than that, or concept than that. He says, and are convicted of the law as transgressors. It is a sin. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5 here, and notice how Paul tells the preacher to make his judgments. Church leaders, preachers, elders, Bible class teachers cannot be partial in their willingness to teach. But listen here to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. It is the role of the preacher, it is the role of elders, but it's the role of preachers to preach in such a way, and his judgment should always be designed without partiality in mind. Well, wait a minute, I might get fired if I do that. Yep, you may. But you must do what you must do. Just because people have influence and power doesn't mean you don't preach the gospel. In fact, you might need to change your message about respective persons and favoritism at that particular point. But number five, it is certainly difficult if you live in this world to avoid favoritism and partiality. There is absolutely no doubt about that at all. But we must avoid that. Even as I mentioned earlier in Galatians chapter 2, Peter got wrapped up into that. So what needs to be done with favoritism in the church? If there is a sense of respect of persons or a sense of partiality in the church, what needs to happen? Number one, the Bible tells us that there needs to be a rebuke delivered to the leaders that are engaged in that. That was Timothy's job as the preacher, to rebuke it. The context is among elders. If elders are showing partiality, even in regards to their sin, you must rebuke it openly without partiality. Well, I kind of like that guy, and he favors me. And by the way, he has a pretty good group of people that he influences in the congregation, and he has a lot of money, and everybody likes him. And so I gotta tread lightly around him. Maybe that's the person you don't need to tread lightly around, because you have to do that. Now, if you're going to tread lightly around him and not around another elder, because maybe he's just not very wealthy, a lot of people don't like him, he's pretty gruff and all of that, and so I'm going to... No, you can't do that. That is contrary to the will of God. So it must be rebuked. Whether it be eldership or membership, it must be rebuked. Number two, after the rebuke, people got to be held accountable. The problem with our society in general is we have at times a lot of rebuke that goes on and very little accountability that is associated with it. Think about the summertime with all of the money that was being raised to get those people out of jail that had been caught rioting. Now you're talking about partiality. Now those same people are calling upon individuals who rioted the other day to be have the entire justice system thrown at them hard. In harsh words such as sedition, trying to take over the government. All of those things were leveled at that. By the way, you don't try to take over the government without some kind of weapon. You don't try to just go in. It was wrong. It was contrary to the will of God. It should have never happened. Those people were not thinking spiritually. They were not thinking godly. They were not thinking heavenly. They were thinking carnally. And that was the problem with what occurred. But now, I want to address it. We're already over time, my friends. I apologize for not keeping eyes on the clock, but I will tell you this. Listen, favoritism, respect of persons, partiality, it is a problem like any other problem of sin that we deal with today. And I don't care where it falls. Some people might say racism. Some people might say the problem of gender. Some people might say the problem of the rich and the poor. Whatever, it is partiality. If it is partiality, it is sin. Therefore, it is contrary to the will of God. So, my friends, let us go forth and be like God. Love all men. Do that which is right unto all men. God bless and have a wonderful day.